بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. استاذ الشارف هو تادا شيخ حضرت حكيم محمد أختر ساب رحمة الله عليه. The title is حفاظة النظر, safeguarding the gaze. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا. ممکن نہیں صورت میں نہ ہو کوئی تغیر, بیکار ہے پھر ان سے تیرا دل کا لگانا. ممکن نہیں صورت میں نہ ہو کوئی تغیر, بیکار ہے پھر ان سے تیرا دل کا لگانا. لیکن اگر آنکھوں کو نہ تو ان سے بچائے, ممکن نہیں پھر دل کا تیرے ان سے بچانا. لیکن اگر آنکھوں کا نہ تو ان سے بچائے, لیکن اگر آنکھوں کا نہ تو ان سے بچائے, ممکن نہیں پھر دل کا تیرا ان سے بچانا. آنکھوں کی حفاظت میں ہی اس دل کا سوپ کو بھی, گو نفس کرے تجھ سے کوئی اور بہانہ. آنکھوں کی حفاظت میں ہی اس دل کا سکون بھی, گو نفس کرے تجھ سے کو اور بہانا. جو کہے تجھے لطف حسینوں سے ملے گا, ابلیس کے کہنے سے کبھی اس پر اس دو کا ہے تجھے لطف حسینوں سے ملے گا, ابلیس کے کہنے سے کبھی اس پہ نہ جانا. دو کا ہے تجھے لطف حسینوں سے ملے گا, ابلیس کے کہنے سے کبھی اس پہ نہ جانا. پاگل کی تیرا پھرتے ہیں عشاق مجازی, بے چین ہے دن رات یہ بدنام زمانہ. پاگل کی تیرا پھرتے ہیں عشاق مجازی, بے چین ہے دن رات یہ بدنام زمانہ. رہنا ہے اگر چین سے سن لو یہ میری بات, آنکھوں کو حسینوں کی نظر سے نہ ملانا. رہنا ہے اگر چین سن لو میں یری بات, آنکھوں کو حسینوں کی نظر سے نہ ملانا.
اختر کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم، ان مردہ حسینوں سے کبھی دل نہ لگانا۔ اختر کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم، ان مردہ حسینوں سے کبھی دل نہ لگانا۔ بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ، آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا۔ اختر کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم، ان مردہ حسینوں سے کبھی دل نہ لگانا۔ اختر کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم، ان مردہ حسینوں سے کبھی دل نہ لگانا۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی ونسلم علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، this is a kalam of our illustrious honorable Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Hazrat Abdul Shah Hakim Muhammad Aslam Nawar Allahu Murqadahu. If you have to look at the theme of Hazrat's Bayans, then you will see that the theme of Hazrat's Bayans, most of the time Hazrat would speak about safeguarding the gaze, protecting the eyes. And Hazrat would say that if there is a certain sickness which is common, which is spreading amongst people, then must a doctor take and give some other medicine, and must he give that medicine? Rather no, if there is a certain sickness, he will go around distributing the medicine which is necessary, which is needed in the time. Similarly, in this time of be-hayai, immodesty, where every person, most of the people is involved in this evil malady, evil sickness of casting lustful gazes, most of the time Hazrat would emphasize and he would speak on this, on the topic of protecting the gaze. Hazrat says, Be parda hasino se hua tang da zamana, that because of the women who are not covering themselves, who are dressing immodestly, that now the times have become very, very hard. Once one person came and complained to Hazrat and said, that Hazrat, that now it has become so hard to become the friend of Allah, because now the temptations are much more than before. So Hazrat said, no, that why are you looking at it in a negative way? Rather look at it in a positive way. That now when the fitnas are so high and it's the end of times, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is distributing the certificates of wilayat. That in the past, the mujahad people had to undergo a lot of mujahada. They had to go to make a lot of riyazat in order to reach high stages. But in this time and age, if a person has to just squeeze his heart and he has to protect his gaze, then a person can reach very, very lofty heights. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that to cast a lustful gaze is something which is very, very foolish. Because if you look at a woman and if she's looking pretty, if she's looking nice, then you say, ah, I can't get her. And if you looked at her and if she's ugly, then you say, ah, why did I even look? So by a person casting lustful gazes, not only does it have spiritual harms, but rather it has physical harms also. Aankhon ne shuru kar diya ab dil ko satana. And now a person is going out and is misusing his gaze. He never protects his heart. That's why ulama Hazrat says that before we go out, we should not go with an empty mind. Rather, we should conscientize and we should remind ourselves. We should make the intention from before that I'm going out and I'm going to protect my gaze. Mumkin nahi surat mein ho koi taghayyur. That now you're looking at the woman and you feel that she's going to be like this. You're thinking about her. Before you're sleeping, you're thinking about her. In your namaz, you're thinking about her. But you're not looking at the end result. What is going to be the end result of this woman? That tomorrow she's going to be... In the beginning, she was a drop of dirty fluid. Her ending is that she is a rotten corpse. And her beginning and her present, she is a marcus of dirt and filth. Bekar hai fir unse tera dil ka lagana. And when this is the situation of such filthy woman, then why do you even attach your heart to this woman? Rather, if you want to attach your heart, then attach it to that Allah who is al-awwal laysa qablahu shay. Allah Ta'ala is first, there is nothing before Allah. Wal-akhir laysa ba'dahu shay. Allah is last, nothing is after Allah. If you want to attach your heart to that beauty which is eternal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beauty was, is, and will forever be, or will always be forever. Lekin agar anko kud tu na unse bachaye. If you do not protect your gaze from this from this woman, mumkin nahi phir dil ka tere unse bachana. Then definitely when you look at this woman, your heart is going to be polluted. And when your heart is going to be polluted, it is not possible for you to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, ulama say that if a person has directed his heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you commit any sin, then your heart turns away 90 degrees away from Allah. But if you commit the sin of casting a lustful gaze, your heart turns 180 degrees away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anko ki hifazat mein hai uska dil ka suku bhi. And when you will protect your gaze, then not only the mujahada is very, very little, for a very little while. Instead, if you look at it, if you look at the woman, then for days on end, you will be thinking about her. But if you just protected your gaze, for a few while, you will be mujahada. Afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that halawat iman in a person's heart. Like how, if a person wants to join two bricks, you take cement and you join those two bricks. If you want to put two pieces of cloth together, you will thread it together. Similarly, if you want to put iron together, then you will weld it together. But now, when a person's heart breaks for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how does his heart come together? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes responsibility himself to bring this person's heart together. Where Allah ta'ala, he says, أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. I will grant him such nur of iman that he will find the sweetness of it in his heart. دوکا ہے تجھے لطف و حسینوں سے ملے گا. It is only an illusion. It is only an a fantasy that you, by you thinking to yourself that by me looking that I will find happiness, I will feel nice, whereas you're not realizing in the long run, you are only destroying yourself. And the first punishment which comes to a person who casts lustful gazes is that the beauty which Allah Ta'ala has kept in a person's wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that beauty. Now when he goes home, he cannot see the beauty in his wife anymore. Iblis ke kehne se bhi us pe na jana. When shaitan is whispering to you, he's tempting you to look, then do not give in to the temptations of shaitan. Pagal ki tarah phirte hain ushaq e majazi. These lovers who are running after these temporary beauties, they are running like mad people. Bechain hai din raat ye badnaam zamana. And day and night, apparently it looks like they are very happy, but they are very, 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 very restless. Whole night, at night before they're going to sleep, they're thinking of their beloved. When they're waking up, they're thinking of their beloved. But they don't realize that their beloved is fast asleep, not even thinking of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such, if we think of Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is saying, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. If you think of me, and in turn, I will think of you again. If a person has to phone his beloved, maybe he's missing her, whatever, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock at night, she'll see the call, she'll reject it immediately. Or she will phone him and say, you know, it's too late in the night, why are you phoning now? But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 24 hours, the line of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open. Especially in the dead of the night, when the entire world is sleeping. At that time, the connection, the network to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the strongest. Anko ko haseeno ki nazar se na milana. Don't ever cast your gaze on this woman. Akhtar ki ye ek baat nasihat ko iski suno tum. Listen to this one advice of Akhtar. Hazrat is saying, sometimes Hazrat in his lectures, in his bayans, at times he would say that if you want your Islah to be made, then do this. He would mention one thing. Then Hazrat would mention the second thing. Then he would mention the third thing. Afterwards, Hazrat would say, leave all this. Just do one thing. Just protect your gaze. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you forward and Allah ta'ala will make your Islah. In murdo haseeno se kabhi dil na lagana. If you want to take any advice from me, take this one advice that don't ever attach your heart to this dead corpse. May Allah ta'ala give us all.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد من كتاب حياة المسلمين مولانا اشرف علي ثاني رحمة الله عليه the 8th chapter the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم so a person must learn about the character and habit of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام so that the love of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام will become dominant in a person's heart so a few hadith regarding the character of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not harsh in disposition, nor was he one who cursed. If someone had to be reprimanded, he would at most exclaim, "What is the matter with him? May dust settle on his forehead." The statement, "May dust settle on his forehead," is not a curse. Even during salat, dust settles on the forehead when in sajda by the head touching the earth. In this way, this was a dua for the betterment of the person. It implied that the errant must attain rectitude, and Islam must be done by performance of salat. For salat prevents from evil and shameless deeds. This is one of the peculiarities and specialities of salat. So may dust settle on his forehead means may he perform salat. This hadith is recorded in Bukhari Sharif. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more modest than a young parda naseen girl, a girl who remained in seclusion. And on the first night of her marriage, when she is about to meet her husband, how much of shyness she's got, Nabi alayhi sallam was more modest than this. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu said, when he saw something detestable, you would realize it from the effect of his auspicious face. This means he would generally not mention it due to excessive modesty. This was in matters which were of the nature of Nabi alayhi salam, his natural tabiat. If it was something against Sharia, then Nabi alayhi salam would definitely mention it. Hazrat Aswad radiallahu anhu raised that he asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do at home? She replied, he would assist his wives in their housework. Some examples of the type of housework done by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned in the following hadith. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mend his shoes, sew his clothing, and do the work of the house as ordinary people among you do. She also narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not act like a master at home. He would milk the goats himself. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never killed anything with his own hands, nor did he beat any servant. Yes, jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala was an exception. He never hit anyone in anger, nor inconvenienced anyone unnecessarily or in revenge. However, when the prohibitions of Allah Ta'ala were violated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took appropriate action for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, I was 8 years old when I joined the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remained in his service for 10 years. Whenever I damaged anything with my hands, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not scold me. Even if someone from the family of Nabi alayhi sallam scolded me, he would prevent them and say, if anything else was decreed, it would have happened. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the sick and he participated in the janazah service, the funeral service. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated when making mustafa, I was shaking hands with someone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not withdraw his hand before that person withdrew his hand, nor would he turn away his face until the other person did not turn away his face. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never seen stretching his legs towards others. In the Kitab Shama'il al-Tirmizi are two lengthy narrations from which some sentences will be quoted here. Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhumah narrate on the authority of their father, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. At home, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided his time into 3 periods. In one period, he remained engrossed in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. In the other period, he engaged himself in fulfilling the rights of his family. One period he reserved for himself. His special period was then divided between others and himself. The benefits and barakat of this special period was spread amongst the people at large through the medium of the special companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this special period, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted certain distinguished sahaba, that is the ulama amongst the sahaba, permission to sit in his company. In this special time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam preferred the distinguished sahaba above others. In this time, Nabi alayhi salam engaged the distinguished group of sahaba radiallahu anhum in matters of the deen and the ummah. All those who attended came with the motive of acquiring benefit from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides the benefits of knowledge, they would also participate in meals with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they departed from this company, from his company, they would leave as guides of the deen. This was the atmosphere of the special and distinguished gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we'll continue next week.